Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Were there anything worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists? As for these jokes. And my very special guest today, a man I've known for a while, is Tim Baker. And we're going to be talking about the cyclone that hit New Zealand earlier this year. A lot of people don't know this, but there's a huge recession in the economy today. And the government didn't blame the shutting down of the entire country for 2 years on that collapse of the economy. No, they blamed the cyclone. And they may well have a point. And so Tim Baker's coming on today to let us know a little bit more about that. Before we cut to Tim, we have just a few little bits of housekeeping to go here. 31st of July, outside Waterloo Quadrant, the High Court in Auckland, myself and Billy TK will be going to our appeal. So if you want to make it down there on the 31st, please do. And you can look that up on Facebook events as well. If you want to know more about why we got arrested, the Day Democracy Died banner on the homepage of VinnieEastwood.com is where you can go and watch a little documentary about that. As well as Billy TK is making a little documentary called River of Lies, the New Zealand Scam Demic, riveroflies.co.nz. We're also doing a little petition for this as well, so you can go to change.org and look up Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood, and there'll be a little petition there, Justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood, so get us free. I'd like to thank our sponsors, reopen.nz, a director of anti-mandate, pro-choice, all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. Would encourage you to go to reopen.nz and add your freedom business there today. And indeed, those of you who've been listening to the show for a while know I've been struggling with a little bit of health problems, and Holden Healthcare has been treating me and helping me to get back on my feet, and I'd really like to thank them. And go to holdenhealthcare.com if you're one of those hard-to-treat cases and you've been through the medical ringer, the medical disclaimer, as at holdenhealthcare.com. Of course, this is a listener-supported show, so as a donor, when you donate, just contact me and we can request a guest, have a private call with me, and get my help with your media project or idea, and you get the access to the Secret Donors Club on Facebook. All the music on this show is provided by Vinnie and the Vendettas. You can check it out at the vinnieeastwoodshow.com/vinnieandthevendettas.html. And I would love you to support us on Patreon there as well, if you could, please, ladies and gentlemen. So that about does it. My very special guest, Tim Baker, joins us now. Are you in Tauranga there, Tim?
I am. Hi, Vinny. Thanks for welcoming me on the show.
You're welcome, brother. All right. Well, let's get into it then. What are we talking about? We're talking about the cyclone and the damage. And you went down there to Gisborne, Napier, during some of the worst hit of it. Can you describe what you saw down there?
Yeah, so I'm a Napier boy. I was born in 88 down there. I went to school. I've got lots of friends down there. All of my family's down there. On the, was it the 15th of February, these reports started coming out of Hawke's Bay saying, you know, there's been some flooding. But because the flooding knocked out all of the power lines and things like that, we didn't get a lot of the photos until about 2 or 3 days later. So when those photos started trickling out through social media, it was just horrific. And so I was up in Tauranga. And then, in and around the same time that the photos started coming out, there were, my family was finally able to contact me again. And so I started learning that my sister had lost her home. My other sister had lost her home. My cousin Bill had lost his home as well. And And my cousin Margie had also, I don't think it's going to be demolished. I think we managed to save that house, but she's also lost her home as well. So it was just like, you know, in that moment I was like, well, like, I'm not going to stay here. You know, so I figured a way to get down. The Napier Talbot Road was out, so that wasn't an option driving. So I just jumped on the first plane and headed down there. When friends of mine learnt that I was heading down, you know, that there was all of, they were giving all of these donations and things like that, like solar power packs and stuff like that. And one person said, hey, could you do some updates for us all when you're down there? So that's why I ended up sort of doing a series of 7 videos, I think it was, just to update my friends and family. I didn't realize that I'd be talking to the whole damn world. So, yeah, that's kind of how I came about chatting about that.
Yeah. And when we're talking about this damage down here, you're talking about a bunch of people that you know personally that have lost your home. So that's kind of something that must have affected almost everybody down there that way. I mean, how many houses are even left out of how many there were in the first place, you know?
Yeah, well, Eskdale lost a hell of a lot of people. A lot of people's homes. I did a trip to a place called, on my second trip down there, I did a trip to a place called Risington, and Risington is like way out the back. Like, Eskdale is about a 5-minute drive from the airport. But Risington is kind of, you got to kind of go down a road and over a hill and another hill. And, when you get to Risington, that's just like, there's no town left. Like, there's roofs sticking out of silt like that. And just the whole house is just completely full of silt. And so, yeah, and then further down the road from that is Puketapu, which my family, you know, two of my family live, and they both lost their homes as well. Reports said that there were 50% of agriculture, you know, because it's the fruit bowl of New Zealand down there. And, 50% of orchards, vineyards were lost. So, yeah, that's a big blow. Damage-wise.
Well, and also food-wise, for this country, we've had an increase of food prices by 20% this year so far.
Cripes. Yeah. I noticed that when they put the price of petrol up, you know, when they put that tax back on, I went into the supermarket, and it's as if they had already sort of preempted putting all of the price of every single item in the supermarket up by at least $1. It's like an overnight change. So
And that makes sense as well, because if you put the price of petrol up, you're talking about every single food truck that delivers any kind of food would be sort of, you know, needing to up their prices and charges, and that would go on to the growers and so on and so forth. Because of course, I think for every calorie of food that's grown, about 50 calories of petrol or oil is put into the process. So from farm to table, you know, that's kind of how much you're looking at here, because of the prevalence of these kind of phosphate fertilizers and things of that nature that are being used in many of the growing processes. So we're talking about simultaneous crises that are coming off the back of another big crisis. And the cyclone affected Auckland quite significantly. We had people along rivers and West Auckland and things of that nature getting that stuff washed out. Now, we're having some difficulty with the live streaming here, so we're going to just turn the radio stream off. Sorry about that, guys. And so when we're talking about the crisis that really happened down there in the Hastings area, how many people were reportedly killed versus how many people were reportedly killed by people on the ground there, you know, kind of thing? Is there a massive discrepancy?
Yeah, so straight away, you know, like before I even came down, I called my nephew, he told me about a whole group of RSC workers that were just missing, couldn't find them, didn't know where they were or anything like that. But, you know, and there were just over and over and over again, there was just more and more people just saying, all these different accounts where it was a whole, like the official amount that we ended up with, because this was early on before they released, you know, the official figures. So it was really, you know, early doors. There were still a lot of people missing and things like that, or people that were uncontactable. So, yeah, there was him. Then as soon as I get there, the first thing I do is I go and visit my one of my family members who lost her home. She was home alone with the two kids at the time. And all of these floodwaters came rushing in from out of nowhere just early in the morning. And we later actually found out that the reason why that was because the river, Guppy Road River, which runs along, Parkvai, the council decided to bust blow the stop bank there to save parts of Taradale and Onikawa. So Parkvai is not as built up an area as Taradale and Parkvai. So the council actually made the decision at something like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, and they disclosed this at one of the meetings that they had to an audience of utterly, you know, irate people in Parkvai, saying, well, if you plan to bring a digger down to, you know, pull the stop bank away to let all this water rush in, if you put a big digger on a truck or whatever, drove it down to the riverbank's edge at 5 miles an hour or whatever, if you had the time to do that, why didn't you send a police car or something through Parkvai to let us know that you were going to do this? Do you know what I mean? Like, it, and so it's just, yeah, it's crazy. So I'm at that house anyway, walking up the driveway, and I meet the husband. And the husband, I can't, you know, they've already lost their homes and stuff, so I can't really put them in trouble by sort of saying who they are. But the husband, you know, I ask him, is everybody okay? And he goes, yeah, we lost the house pretty much, and the cars are all done and everything like that. So I said, well, how bad do you think this is? Now, bear in mind, this is a first responder, right? And he said, well, there's two morgues, and I never knew Hawke's Bay to have two morgues, not since they closed Napier Hospital. We used to have a hospital on the hill. They closed that in 96, I think it was. So we've only got Hastings Hospital now. So he said, well, the two morgues are full. And I'm like, what do you mean two morgues? And he said, well, Napier morgue, Hastings morgue was full, and that can hold 20 people. So we actually had to lie the bodies on the ground. And I said, okay, so how many does that hold? And he goes, well, that holds 60 with the bodies on the ground. And so they had to set up another one at the Napier Port, and that one's full as well. And I was like, what? Like, how many people do you think, how many people do you think in total? And he said, well, I don't know, but maybe 500 to 1,000. And he looked like dead in the eye, like just so matter of fact. And I was like, oh my God. And, so I was just kind of, yeah, taken aback by that. And then later on, the wife of said person, I was just having a phone conversation with her, and she just sort of said it as this throwaway comment. I was saying, hey, look, I've got some people in the freedom movement that want to donate some supplies and things like that. And she just jokingly said, well, what we really need is body bags. And so I was just like, yeah, like these two people, by the way, the reason why I take what they say as true, or at least to be considered, you know, is because they predicted the lockdown. They told me in when was it? February of 2020. They said, Tim, there's going to be a lockdown. They're going to shut the whole country down in about, and it's going to happen this weekend. And I'm like, what do you mean lockdown? Because, you know, that stage, like, that wasn't something that we could understand fully because we never had anything like that before. And they said, well, no, it's going to happen this weekend and they're just going to shut the whole country down. And I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. Well, it didn't happen that weekend. It happened the weekend after. So when people like this say, this is what's happening, and they're just, you know, there's not a doubt on their face at all. And they're not trying to impress, and they're not trying to, you know, they're not doing it for attention or anything like that. It's like, they're just telling me, you know, somebody that they know and trust what they know. So yeah, make of that what you will, but you know, when you start sort of coupling that with all of the other stories as well, the official death toll, which was eight, just seems a bit hard to believe. It just eight. Yeah. I mean, I hope eight, but yeah, you know, you start, looking at these, news reports after they said that everybody was found and everybody, who died had been accounted for. Then 2 weeks later, you get a stuff.co.nz article come out saying, oh, a cruise liner has seen a body floating off the coast of Hawke's Bay. Well, how is that if we've found everybody? You know? So, yeah, I don't... Yeah, things don't add up in Hawke's Bay. And anybody that really wants to say anything is very scared to. I met up with a friend of mine after he watched a few of my videos. He called me up, he said, hey man, like, something doesn't sit right with me and I think I have some information for you. And I said, okay, cool, I'll meet up with you. And so I went over to his work and we waited until his workers left, and then he took me upstairs to his office and he said, look, I know of two people that have not been added to the official death toll that I know personally. That's just two that I know. And so I asked for the details of that, and I won't bore you with them, but one of them was a body that he found in the slash up against one of the rivers. So I said to him, well, what happened there? And he said, well, we just called the emergency services, and they told us to leave, and then we left. But yeah, that was never added to the official death toll because the number never went up. And I said, are you sure it was a body? He said, well, it could have been a blow-up sex doll, but pretty certain it was a body, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I think I think the early reports, which you can still find in mainstream media, I think that the earlier reports where I think it was Māori News, I don't know if they've pulled that article yet, but Māori News reported in Estale that people had seen multiple bodies floating past when, you know, this big torrent of water was rushing through their village. But only one person died in Estale. So how can there be multiple reports of bodies seen floating in the water during the floods when only one person died? Doesn't make sense. So
usually things don't make sense when people are lying. Because let's say theoretically a lot of these bodies got caused by the things that you were saying before, you know, let's open up this riverbank and flood this town and that sort of thing, and a whole bunch of people die as a result of that decision. Who would people ultimately want to hold to account for making those decisions, right? And so if there are a whole stack of bodies caused by government decisions, then it would behoove them to cover that up.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, so I don't know. I wish that I could continue that investigation, but in all honesty, Vinny, I've just tried to kind of put it out of my mind. But I mean, I would probably say that I've taken a look at the names of the official, the people on the official death toll. And it seems that every single one of those people were found by people, as in like their neighbor or their partner or a family member or a friend or something like that, were found by people. So in that situation, you can't cover it up. but I know that the ones that were retrieved by emergency services and things like that. I think that
hold on, Tim. We're at break here now, so I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Or a favorite song from the past.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about getting your Luftwaffe aloft. It's the Finny Eastwood Show. And my very special guest, Tim Baker, is with us talking about the massive uncounted body count of the terrible cyclone, or rather the terrible management by authorities of the cyclone, which wound up coincidentally fulfilling Agenda 21 aims to depopulate the earth of people and get them off the rural areas by destroying all their economy and so on and so forth. It's just a coincidence. All right. I'm not saying that they used any number of the 10 various methods of geoengineering in order to pump up the storm. All right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they deliberately destroyed the rural areas to kill people. Okay? I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is it's incredibly convenient that it just happens to coincide with a plan that's been in place since like 1992 called Agenda 21. All right, but anyway, my very special guest, Tim Baker. Tim, welcome back. Now, what were you saying before we got off the break there?
I don't know. I lost my train of thought now. But there's just there were a lot of things that didn't add up when I went down there. Look, I'm not saying that there are this many people that died or whatever. I'm just repeating what people told me. So, you know, the two people that that told me this, what I'm saying to you, you know, they work in emergency services, so they would have been there lifting people off of or helping find and locate and lift people off of rooftops that managed to get to higher ground quick enough. And I think during that time there would have been a lot of people that didn't make it. So you know, anybody that's that was looking for bodies afterwards, and there were photos of, you know, boats and stuff scouring the river mouths and things like that long afterwards. And even now, digger drivers are being told to, when they dig through the silt, you know, be careful, check for bodies. But why are we doing that if everybody's been accounted for? Doesn't make sense. So, I really don't know why or how are so many people that were lost where there are people not speaking out. But I think that any opportunity that that the government had to you know, to hush any of these any of the collateral damage from the floods, I think that they took that opportunity to. And you know, on the official death toll, which stands at only 8 for Hawke's Bay, every single one of those people were found by somebody that they know. So there was you know, a woman that was found by her neighbor in her attic, and there's many accounts, and some of them are really tragic, so I won't repeat them, but not one of them were found or recovered by emergency services or the army that was sent there a few days later. So if you have people that found somebody, you can't shut them up. So I think that's why they may have done things like that. It was also at the start of the picking season in Hawke's Bay, and there were thousands of RSC workers there living in kit set accommodations in the back of these places that were suddenly flooded at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, all of the stories that I heard of these people that were being choppered off of rooftops. Well, if you're living in a kit set caravan and floodwater suddenly comes raging in, even if you are fast enough to get up onto the roof, I don't think that's going to be high enough to save you. So You know, if a lot of people from places like Tonga, Vanuatu, were lost in the floods, people that were over here on as part of the REC scheme, a scheme which has been criticised by the Human Rights Commission as having atrocious conditions akin to slave labour. And that report came out in, I think it was December of 2022. So only a few months later now, we've just suddenly lost a whole bunch of them as well. You know, there is a reason to, I think, play down or cover up any of those deaths as well, because if the REC scheme gets affected, that will affect agriculture, and agriculture is our largest GDP producer, higher than forestry, which can also have, you know, there are a lot of liability claims for that as well because of the slash, which, you know, caused the flooding by blocking up all those bridges and things like that. So, you know, if I think that if there were, you know, more people, then it probably was the ones that they could cover up. And interestingly, I think it was maybe 15th, it was about the 21st, on the mainstream news, I was sat there, and I never really watch it, but I was sat there watching it with my parents because I was staying with them when I was down there. And the Fijian military sent a Hercules airplane over on what they called a recovery mission. And why? Why would they do that? You know, Fiji was actually affected by the same cyclone. So they had all of their damage of their own to worry about. So why are they sending a Hercules over to New Zealand on a recovery mission? Recovering what? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's we get little tidbits of stuff, but I don't understand that. So I don't really have all the answers, Vinny, but you know, I'm just I guess a piece of the puzzle, and I really would like to investigate this further.
Well, we have a break coming now, so it's a perfect time, ladies and gentlemen, to take a slash. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Is it too soon for jokes like that? I hope so. All right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about blue waters and turtle doves. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we're talking to our good friend Tim Baker about what happened down in Gizzy with the destruction of, wow, half of the Food Bowl area, region of New Zealand. Really? I mean, that's quite significant. I'm just kind of thinking, there's going to be a lot of on-flow effects from this. I mean, you can't just destroy an area like that and not have long-standing consequences. I mean, how long does it take to grow a fruit tree anyway?
3 years, I think. Vines are different. It takes a little while, doesn't it? A lot of work, a lot of outlay, a lot of investment. Yeah. And if the soil's ruined, you can't cultivate any plants on the soil for a while. So I don't know how long before things will be back to normal.
Yeah, all that stuff. What was it? The Romans, they used to salt the fields of their enemies so that they couldn't grow any food, right? And now that's what's happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's sad situation, really.
Yeah.
But luckily, did you see the video that was floating around with the WEF logo?
Poor choice of words there, but...
Well, yeah, true.
Speaking of poor choice of words, we'll get to this video in a second. What did the Gisborne residents say when they were hit by a wall of water?
Oh, God, this is going to be awful. What?
Damn. I'm sorry. I knew it was too soon. I'm just a bad person. I can't freaking excuse it. I just can't.
You need Jesus.
That's why they gave me the gig. All right, so sorry, there was a video floating around.
A video floating around. It's still on the WEF website, but there were three or four places in the world that were sort of in the crosshairs, featured in this 3-5 minute long video, and one of them was Hawke's Bay. It didn't say too much other than due to rising, it was pretty crazy. Like, I mean, all my blooming family are there, and they said due to rising sea levels, this place is under threat. Therefore, we have to relocate all of these people. So what the hell's that all about? Like, I have never noticed any rising sea levels. If you go down to Marine Parade, the sea's pretty much at the same spot. It has been. that came out a month maybe after the floods, or maybe it was made before the floods, I don't know. I came across it after the floods. They're talking about a multi-billion dollar relocation fund to help the people of Hawke's Bay, which is really generous of them, you know. But I don't know. It stinks. It kind of smells a bit. Nothing really adds up about any of this, really. So I think that the only responsible thing to do would not be to do what Stuff did and simply slap the whole thing with a disinformation sticker and start asking questions. God, if you've got the resources and the fortitude to do so, then do some investigating. If I could, I probably would go and start asking questions in places like Vanuatu and Tonga and the places that these REC workers came from. It was just before picking season, so we were plush with REC workers at the time, and I've looked into it, and I think the majority of them came from Vanuatu. So pop over there, start asking questions, see if anything's amiss there as well. The time and the resources, even just doing the two trips to Hawke's Bay just wiped me out, like, completely. I think I came back with a fair bit of PTSD, not just from, witnessing all of the carnage and, the emotions flying with my family and things like that. But, of course, the bombardment of hatred that I got doing these videos. There was almost immediately, there's just people coming in and private messaging me and commenting on all my videos, calling me a liar, calling me, you know, hoping that I die. One person was threatening to do something with my organization that I run, sabotaging one of the agreements that we have that allows us to do free counseling. And he just said, just retract what you said. And I'm like, well, no, because that's what was said to me, and that's what the truth is. So I will never, ever not say that that didn't happen, because that did. And he was quite prepared to ruin this initiative that gives free counseling to people. And yeah, just the level of narcissism, I can't quite understand it. You know, it's like, you will do as I say, you will bow to my will. I am going to try to change the way that you like do, like the arrogance of some people that like they try to think that they can bend you know, the fabric of reality just because they say so, and issuing threats and things like that. So it was all of that as well. So yeah, a lot of PTSD from all of that, but nothing I you know, compared to the people that went through it and are still picking up the pieces and trying to rebuild their lives.
Well, traumatized people traumatize other people, right? And this is the other thing about it is I'm a very traumatized person. It's been very, very difficult for my partner, Rebecca, to deal with some of the things that I do and say, you know, that kind of thing, because I'm just messed up. And I think that it's basically like an outlay, so like a ripple effect as you go, traumatized person in the center and all the people around them that are interconnected with them in some way will get their own kind of trauma as it sort of like filters down the chain. And so, you know, you're talking about massive effects on society that happen when you've got this many people being this damaged in this short a period of time. On-flow effects, as I'm saying. Speaking of on-flow, we actually do have a caller. I believe we have Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Vinny, so much. I really appreciate your program. And as I've been listening, and I'm sorry for, you know, all the trauma everybody's going through and the devastation, you know, when you were talking about, like, weather modification, you know, solar radiation management, yeah, right. But go out and buy your solar panel, you know, while we dim the sun. But, you know, when you think about it, I mean, in the United States, the whole West Coast, all of California, big state, right? But then all along the Southwest, from Florida on over, heat dome, China, heat wave. You know, everybody's having a heat wave all at one time. I remember in 2014, 2016, I have a colored map I printed off. I've been on the internet since 2017. But there were 20 HAARP facilities around the world. Now, remember, the one in Alaska, oh, no, we don't use that anymore. No. But the dumb scientist actually is on the recording going, oh, we didn't know it would go past the ionosphere. I'm like, what kind of dumb person is this?
Well, that's because they came PhD. From the moronosphere. But yes,
go ahead. PhD, yeah, scientist. Okay, but the thing with sea level rise, and if you think about climate change, remember the Gulf oil spill in 2010, you know, first they stuck the toys in the hole, didn't work. Okay. This man, Matt Simmons, who is one of the elite, but what we have to forget about the World Economic Forum, don't get into the left-right paradigm. Because what I can promise you, I would bet my life on it, because I hear Christians constantly point fingers about this, but they send their folks to the World Economic Forum, you know, They're just into it up to their eyeballs, too. They just want to create finger-pointing havoc to create division between all of us. They're part of the problem. But Matt Simmons warned not to use Corexit. And he'd already talked, I think, to Senator Stevens. They were going to have a press conference. And there used to be a couple radio interviews you could find online he had already done. But they were going to have a press conference on this Monday. to publicly say, do not use Corexit, which is a VOC that takes the water, takes the color out of oil, and then breaks it up into tiny little globules so you can't really see it. The sheen's still there. But what he said was, it's going to travel around Key West and then travel up the East Coast. And when it gets up to the Arctic, it would only take the smallest fraction of a degree of sea level rise to create catastrophic problems around the world. Now, this guy was filthy, stinking rich. He was one of the elite. I don't remember the name of his company, but he had companies in Saudi Arabia, like, you know, and here, and you know, it's an investment banker and into oil, things like that. Senator Stevens died in a plane crash on Saturday. He died in a hot tub of a heart attack on Sunday. Okay, the guy was healthy. He was fine. And what has happened in the past 10 years? Sea level rise, just like he said. And of course, then that's going to affect the climate. We all learn that little cycle thing, you know, about vapor and all that and rain in grade school. So you can probably find the information. But from what I understand, they also have built more HARP facilities around the world. There is no way we could have worldwide weather effects like this without somebody, and I mean a lot of somebodies, knowing what the hell's going on.
Well, I think there's something to be said for that as well, because I believe that the goal is control of global weather, like in real time sort of thing. And I don't know how good they are at it. In the last year, I think it has not rained for maybe 14 days in Auckland, where I'm living. 14 days of sun out of the last 365. It's been absolutely, unbelievably so frustrating.
But then wasn't what happened there after it, there'd been fires, just like happens in California, then there'd be devastating rain, so then what do you have? Mudslides. Because there's nothing holding all of that dirt back. You burnt down all the damn trees.
Yeah. And
you know, I mean, we have all the smoke still coming down from Canada. I mean, this is not good. But we can't be stupid. And you're right about, you know, despair, like fear, it's contagious. You know, but we do have Jesus, and that's probably the only place we can put our hope, that and open our mouths. And there's no reason people don't know this is going on. One of the best things folks do is say, you won't hear this anywhere else. And it's like, how is it that you all don't know this stuff? I don't watch TV. I listen to the radio. I know what's going on. I read the paper. Now, I don't believe everything I hear and everything I read, but I know how to discern. And stuff is going on, and we do need to be discerning, and we also need to speak up. When we see it, say something, because enough people say something, you know, it may take somebody hearing 20 people say it, but somebody go, wait a minute, there's something maybe going on here, because everybody's too enthralled with their devices and phones anyway. They don't get a news flash or an alert on their phone. They're not going to know what's going on.
Yep, that's right. Lynn, I'd like to thank you so much for your call and
the
big knowledge dump that you've given us here. It's been awesome.
Thank you very much. I hope you can find some information about Matt Simmons, because it would be a shame for him to die in vain.
Well, one can only hope. All right, thank you
so
much for your time.
He gave it all away to try to get the word out.
Matt Simmons, eh? All right, I'll remember that one. Thank you so much for your time, Lynn.
Well, and thank you, for your dedication and taking the time for your program, because you do a wonderful job, Finny.
Oh, thank you. All right.
And thank your guest. And cheers. Sam, bye.
All right. But, so, yeah, this whole global weather phenomenon is a big deal kind of thing, and they've been doing geoengineering conferences and what have. So, you know, whenever weather events happen, you know, somebody's always like, oh my God, it was HARP. Oh my God, it was a chemtrail. Something like that, you know.
Yeah, well, I know about geoengineering and the cloud seeding and thing that, you know, that's on Oxford University's website. So that, you know, I try not to delve into the realm of, you know, what people would term conspiracy, but I know for a fact that that we've got cloud seeding, which is the spraying of aluminum and barium from aeroplanes, and that was always happening in the UK when I was there. It's like every single day. There's no blue skies in the UK anymore because they're just flying over constantly, like blowing this this vapor out of planes to dim the sunlight and to prevent global warming. So that's a thing. And another interesting thing is that all these floods and stuff, they were predicted by a chappie. What's his name? Do you know the one I'm talking about? That's the guy, and you had him on the show. So he literally said, in his wonderful eccentric way, he's like, bam, 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 these areas here, you got to get the higher ground. There's going to be like half a meter of rainfall. And he was right. It was actually 70 centimeters worth. And some of the places that recorded rainfall up from Puketapu. Mm. And he told, like, that was 1-2 days before. Where was the weatherman? Where was the One News or the Three News weatherman? Hey, everybody, flood warnings, get the high ground, this is going to happen. How was he able to do it? And he's over the other side of the world. And he mentions, he mentions a lot of what he calls chem bombing. I don't know too much about it, but yeah, it is really interesting that he was bang on point about these things. Most people would call him a conspiracy theorist. So, yeah, what are you going to make of that?
Well, they say the difference between a conspiracy theory and breaking news is about 6 months. So it's
just a little early.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We're like pre-informalators or something like that. We blow our loads too early. By the time it comes around to when we actually need to be taken seriously, we've already been taken out of the game. It's a little unfortunate. And when we're talking about, though, global weather events, right? You know how everybody just talks about the weather, but nobody ever does anything about it, right? And, of course, they are doing things, and it's official. And it's not a conspiracy theory, but my opinion on the word conspiracy theory is basically that it was created by the Central Intelligence Agency after JFK was assassinated, when they sent out a memo to all of their Operation Mockingbird talking heads in the media to call anybody who said that they didn't believe in magic bullets was a conspiracy theorist. Magic killed the president! You don't believe it! A conspiracy theorist! Conspiracy theorist! It was magic! It was magic! Okay, and you're like, okay, well, anytime you hear that term now, it's basically a pejorative, all right? So reworking the definition a little bit. A conspiracy theorist, in my opinion, is somebody who believes, absolutely believes, and can't be convinced otherwise, that there's powerful people who have a lot of influence, who use their power to maintain and grow their influence, all right? It's not terribly illogical, but on the other end of the...
Sounds pretty reasonable.
But on the other end of the spectrum from conspiracy theorist is the coincidence theorist, all right? Somebody who believes that all things happen by sheer coincidence. There's no such thing as lies, backroom deals, or subterfuge. And at some point in the middle of the 20th century, all the most powerful elite and technocratic and scumbaggery individuals with all the money and power in the world got together and said to themselves and to each other, I think we've got enough money and power, we don't need any more. let's just let humanity be free, the coincidence theorists are clinically insane, all right, because they've been indoctrinated into
a lot like atheism.
Yeah, they've been indoctrinated into sort of like a religion, more or less.
Yeah, it sounds like atheism, like everything's just happens just coincidence, just by chance. There's no divine intervention here.
I threw the raw resources for a computer up in the air a couple of hundred times and it magically reassembled itself into a working computer, it was just
perfectly plausible.
people just have no freaking concept, okay? This reality is designed, all right? Mm. It's designed in a perfect loop so that whenever you get out of the design or start to see it, it starts to feed back into itself and you're back at the start again, all right? Like a toroidal formation. And only an intelligent creator could do something like that, because these are basic principles of the universe, the things that can't be broken, you know? It's like, can your car tire have a knife stabbed in it without the air rushing out? It's like, no, it can't. Okay, there's a rule for that. And somebody made all these rules. Like a computer game, you have to control the gravity, how far can your character jump, and so on and so forth, you know? And now scientists are saying that reality is very similar to a computer game in this regard.
Mm.
We've got rules. Some can be bent, others can be broken, just like in the Matrix. But at the end of the day, we're still stuck here in this permanent reality. And all you can do is all you can do. You know, everybody's got different skills and subsets and traits and things of that nature that overall, they might not think of themselves as very important, but overall, when you balance out the ripple effect of how many people you've talked to, how many people you've helped over your life and stuff like that, you can actually be quite a significant person and be relatively humble and be somebody that nobody even knows anything about. And that's all right.
Well, I'm glad, because that sums me up pretty perfectly.
Yeah, it's the effect that you have, the trail you leave behind. Sometimes the trail ahead of you seems pretty bleak, but if you've been doing good for your life and trying to help people and trying to do the right thing, that trail will unfold, and you will be okay.
I mean, if I could confess my sins, my one regret of going down to Hawke's Bay was that I think when I did those videos, some sadistic person took one of those videos and shared it to a group where there were people looking for missing loved ones. And I don't know who the hell would do that. But of course, everybody had to go at me because I was making the videos. So that's my one regret, is that, you know, I might have scared some people that were still waiting to hear from loved ones. So I'm sorry about that. But, you know, I was just reporting on an emerging situation as it was happening. So sorry, guys, for that. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. But things like that you need to take responsibility for, you know, if you get somebody's name wrong or if you say something that's it turns out is not true, or it might have freaked people out because it is true, you know, that sort of thing. You know, you do have to take other people's feelings into account. But it doesn't mean you have to retract your statement if it happens to be a fact, all right? People can feel whatever they want. If it's a fact, the fact doesn't care how you feel about that. Tim, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll see you again next time, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Come and check
us out.
Cheers, bro. Thank you so much for your time. And come and check us out, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Please make a donation if you can. Check out the music. Check out our sponsors, Holden Healthcare, reopen.nz. Sign the petition to free Billy and Vinnie, and watch the day democracy died little. Documentary there as well, and please come and see us at court on the 31st of July, so we hopefully don't go to jail for 3 months, ladies and gentlemen. So donate up large.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over there?